Hello, and welcome everyone to Stand By Me's podcast series. Stand By Me is a partnership between the United Way of Delaware and the State of Delaware that offers free one-on-one support to Delawareans who want to understand more about their money, make good financial decisions, and achieve their financial goals.
Today's guests are Kathleen Rupert and Jerry Huss from the Stand By Me 50 Plus program, here to talk about senior scams, how to spot them, what to do if you feel like you're being targeted, and what to do if you've been the victim of a scam. Welcome to the program. Could you each introduce yourselves?
I'm Kathleen Rupert. I am the Stand By Me 50 Plus Director and Financial Coach with the Wilmington Senior Center.
And my name is Jerry Huss. I am a financial coach with Stand By Me 50 Plus, and I also work at the Wilmington Senior Center.
It's unfortunate in today's day and age that there are people out there trying to take advantage of and steal from others. This is very prevalent. There's a lot of stuff that happens online. People are getting phone calls. People are getting people showing up at their door, getting things in the mail. And there's a number of things that are trying to prey on unsuspecting individuals. Specifically today, we're here to talk about senior scams. And the senior population is one that is very often targeted for scams in general.
What I find with seniors is that a lot of times it's people taking advantage of them. They're very trusting people. So a lot of times when somebody calls them on the phone or they're contacting them, they can be taken advantage of very easily, especially if somebody upsets them. So we try to educate the seniors in our program about the things that can happen and what to do if you think you've been taken advantage of. There's a lot of different ways through telephone conversations, perhaps through emails, but also people come into their door. There's just a lot of different ways that they can be, because they're open, especially with Social Security scams and with Medicare scams. That is why we do a lot of education in a lot of the places that we travel to make sure that they know about the things that can happen.
So what are some common examples of things that you see that you or you've heard people fall victim to?
So there's a number of scams that Jerry and I will just touch on briefly. And I'll start with the Publisher's Clearinghouse and lottery scam, where they send an individual a check so that they can claim their prize. And this individual will cash their check and put it into their account. And of course, it has to go through the bank process and it's not going to bounce for a couple weeks. And they then send some money into the Publisher Clearinghouse scammers to get their prize. I do know of a woman that I'm working with that sent them $400. Mm. Also, they may ask for them to send money for your fees for the lottery or the Publisher's Clearinghouse, and they ask it in a specific way, like a gift card. So they get them that way also. And okay. Of course, they're never going to get a prize.
Yeah.
And Publisher's Clearinghouse is a legitimate organization, and they would not do any of those things.
So that's happening by mail? Somebody would get something in the mail, or they get a phone call? How do they get
either
contacted?
One.
Okay.
Either one. And they use the Publisher's Clearinghouse logo, which is illegal to do. But everything looks very legit and proper. So it's very mm-hmm. deceiving.
What else? What are some other examples?
Well, there's the romance scam. So some scammers online romance, like maybe they sign up for online dating and someone can get on there and scam them, earn their trust, and then ask for them to send them money. And it really will get a lot of people. It's unbelievable. The stories that they will come up with for someone to send them the money. And they'll just keep this person going and continually ask to send money. Another one is the telemarketing or robocalls. And all of us have gotten these. I got one yesterday saying that they were going to disconnect my electric because I didn't pay my bill. Mm-hmm. So they're getting around the do not call list, which we'll go over later, by making them automated calls. And also they will use phone numbers and names of trusted organizations for the individual to answer the phone. And then they get their information and then they will sell it to other scammers. So it will just be an ongoing event.
Wow.
Yeah. Another one is Medicare or Medicaid fraud, where they call up an individual and say, we have this claim. We need your information in order to process this claim so you're not billed. Can I have your Medicare number, your banking information, anything that they can get? And then they create their own accounts in that individual's name. And then the home repair contractors scam, that's when someone comes to your door and offers a service. Maybe it might be resealing your driveway or some type of home repair. And they insist on cash or a check. And then either the work is not done or it's not done professionally. And Jerry has some more.
So I actually had a family member who had this happen, the Amazon scam, where Amazon supposedly calls, or sometimes it can be an email and says that there's been a mistake and they need all your information. I actually had a family member who could tell that while she was on the phone, that somebody was hacking into her phone and looking at information on her phone, which can be scary, especially if you have your banking information signed up on your phone with apps and so forth. True. So you have to be really careful to when you're taking phone calls or dealing with any kind of emails, that you know exactly who you're dealing with and that you look up, you take the extra step to look up the phone number and make sure that you're calling a number that's listed for Amazon or for any services that you might be using. Make sure that that number is listed through other sources other than what they say. I know grandparents a lot of times are being taken advantage of. They get a phone call saying that their favorite grandchild or whatever is in jail or something. And I actually had, I worked in banking for many years and I saw this happen where his grandson was calling saying that he was in a Mexican jail and he needed money right away. And please don't tell my parents. Those are things that they're taking advantage of the grandparents. People need to also, hopefully, you know, we talk to our seniors about this too, to be careful what you're putting on Facebook, because they will call you and say, I am this grandchild, because they have their names and they can look all this up on Facebook or social media. So they know what your grandchildren's names are because you put it on there. So, you know, try to be, you know, really careful about doing that.
And it seems like with Facebook in particular, almost every week, I'm finding somebody else whose account has been hacked, and next thing you know, they set up a fake profile, looks like that person, they're starting to add friends back again, and then they're starting to message those friends. It becomes a really fertile ground for trying to take advantage of somebody. And like you said, I have seen also in the past where somebody had their account hacked, and next thing you know, they're sending messages saying, I'm in trouble, I need you to send me money.
Exactly. Next thing you know, you have one of those GoFundMe pages all about you. And you're like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea. So of course, we know about the Social Security scams where somebody says they're from Social Security. Again, they're fishing for your information. A lot of seniors do know that this is happening and they're pretty careful about that. We've had some instructions from Medicare people, the Medicare scams, where people are trying to use your Medicare number for getting different services, medications and stuff. And why this can be important is if you take high blood pressure medication and somebody gets a hold of your number, they also are trying to get medication under your name, then you could be denied medication that you are supposed to legitimately getting because somebody else is also getting that same medication in your name. This is why we ask our seniors to be looking at their statements, making sure that everything on there does belong to them.
Yeah. There's so many examples. I mean, just in the last 5 minutes, we've talked about at least a half a dozen, if not close to a dozen different ways that people are trying to take advantage of seniors out there. So It would be almost impossible for someone to remember all of these. What are some common practices that seniors or really anyone can put in place to try to spot a scam happening? Are there telltale signs of the types of things that could be a red flag that you would, if this happens, you kind of put your guard up a little bit more and you'd be very, very careful at your next step?
Lots of intimidation. They want money. They need it right now. That is a big sign for them to just please hang up the phone. If somebody's calling you and yelling at you saying, I'm the IRS and you owe me money. And if you don't, I mean, I had that happen to me. Somebody is coming to my house to arrest me now. They get really scared. As soon as somebody's trying to intimidate you to give them money, it's time to hang up and you know, take it, whatever information you can, and report it.
These callers pretend they're from an organization that you know. So like Jerry said, hang up the phone or tell them to send it to you in writing, but hang up the phone and call the organization with the number that you have. And also, you know, it's a scammer if they are saying there's a problem or that there's a prize. And also, if they want you to pay in a specific way, like a gift card or send it over the Western Union, it's hard because these people are using names and phone numbers of people, of organizations that are legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a call, couple calls on my cell phone about a week ago from Verizon saying your account's delinquent. Your account is going to be shut off like later today. That went right to voicemail. I didn't pick it up, but my next step wasn't to call back the person that called me, but it was to call Verizon directly. And I called and gave them my account information. They said, "Oh, there's no problem at all with your account." And that's one of the things that I often tell people is if somebody's contacting you out of the blue, find out what organization they're saying they represent, and then go back to your official statement from that organization, the official contact information. Call them directly rather than try to respond to somebody who's, "Oh, I need money right now."
Exactly.
Any other telltale signs?
Well, we know that the Social Security Administration and the IRS are not going to call you and ask you for information unless you set up the appointment or you initiated the contact and they're returning your call. So that's a telltale sign right there. If you're getting a call from Social Security or the IRS, it's not legitimate. And you can't win a prize if you didn't enter the contest.
Yeah, good point. You know, we talked a little bit about how to spot some of these things, and that changes all the time. You know, we've got some common threads: intimidation, if there's a prize, people contacting you pretending to be part of a particular organization, somebody asking you for money urgently, those kind of things. So aside from those red flags to kind of spot a scam in progress, what are some standard things that seniors can do to keep themselves as safe as possible? What are some just best practices in storing passwords and protecting your personal information, et cetera?
First of all, they should block unwanted calls and be careful with text messages that are asking for financial information. They should sign up for the Do Not Call list, and they can do that online at donotcall.gov or at 1-888-382-1222. That will not eliminate all the calls because, as I said earlier, they have figured out a way to get through with these robocalls, but it will eliminate some of them. And don't give your personal or financial information in response to a request that you did not expect. Mm-hmm. So if someone calls you and asks you for that information, do not give any information. And resist the pressure to act immediately. Stop, think about it, talk to somebody you trust, call the organization and find out if this is a legit request.
Yeah, because really nobody would be contacting you and needing you to act right then in the moment. Because any financial institution, anywhere like that, there's always going to be some kind of a grace period. Even if, heaven forbid, you are late on a payment or something like that, there's likely going to be a grace period, particularly if it hadn't been on your radar screen to begin with. So
right.
You can take the time. You can stop, talk to somebody, make sure you're protecting your information, call the organization directly, verify that it's a legitimate request, and keep yourself safe.
Another thing is to check your credit report at least annually. And we could do that for the individuals. I did have a gentleman that we pulled his credit report, and there was a student loan in his name, and it was taken out by his niece. So it's very likely, especially with seniors, that it could be a caregiver or close relative that is stealing their identity. Another thing is to use direct deposits so you don't have checks lying around. Keep your personal information out of sight of people in your home, mm-hmm. and shred information.
And try to resist picking up the phone call. They do use a lot of local phone numbers. They know what your local area code is, and they use a lot of local numbers to get through to these folks. And it is very hard for them to resist picking up the phone. So mm-hmm. we're trying to get them to just if you don't really know who it is, if you don't know it, just let it go to voicemail. That's what we're trying to teach them, because they're looking for somebody to talk to a lot of times, but it's best to let it go.
And I've seen with cell phones, some of the major carriers are now putting in place some filtering. So like I have a thing set up on my phone where it'll come in and say it's a possible spam call. And yes. those I don't pick up. I let them go right to voicemail.
Yes. So that's what we're hoping happens. But again, a lot of times when these folks are home, they're picking up the phone because it's a landline and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. we just try to make sure that they know that they should just let it go to voicemail as much as possible.
Sure.
If they don't know the number.
Now, how about, online is really tricky because, you know, we talked earlier about like a Facebook account getting hacked. You might get an email. Like I get a couple emails a week now of somebody saying, you ordered this thing and it costs $700. And if you don't recognize this charge, call this phone number. Now, if I call that phone number, what are they going to ask me for? They're going to ask me for my login to my Amazon account. They're going to ask me for my credit card information. They might even ask me for my social security. So I'm aware that those are some, you know, that's clearly a scam. So I'm not going to fall prey to it. But there's a lot of that online. What are some good practices for kind of protecting yourself in the online space?
So when you get an email that you don't recognize, it's best not to even open the email. If you do open the email, do not click on any links that are in that email. Use very strong passwords with an assortment of numbers and symbols and capital letters. And if someone contacts you about your computer, sometimes they do a pop-up on your computer. And if you click on it, then they're saying, oh, your computer might be in jeopardy. May I help you with this? And then get right into your computer with you. Therefore, they're accessing all of your financial data, anything that you have on the computer. So if you see any random pop-ups, do not click on them. And like you said, with spam, a lot of emails go into your spam folder, but some don't. And they use, like it might say Kohl's, and then maybe another word after it that's spelt incorrectly. So be careful, look for those types of things. And just be very guarded in what you're reading and what you're clicking on.
Especially with banking information, I think it's important. Not a lot of seniors do use the phone apps and stuff like that. They really don't. But if you do use them, you really don't want to keep your password signed in all the time. You should really log off everything every time and not keep it saved. I would never do that. I always make it so that every time I go into my banking information, I have to put the passwords in. It's just an extra protection, because whenever anybody's going to be looking at, especially if they're using something like at a library and stuff like that, they have to just be really careful. Banking, their requirements are that their websites have a certain criteria of safety so that they're protecting themselves.
Well, and one of the things online that is very helpful is what's called two-factor authentication.
Correct.
Where you can set up, instead of just putting in your password, you have to put in your username and your password. And then, for example, they'll send you a code by text message to your phone,
correct.
Which then you have to enter that code in also. You have your phone. If you have your phone locked and you have a password for your phone, nobody else is going to have that code. They verify that that's you. Something else that I tell people online also that you see is, sometimes you might get an email and it looks like it's from Verizon, for example, and there's a link in it, and you click the link and you look at the address and it has nothing to do with Verizon. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, those are some of the telltale signs that something funky might be happening online.
I had a family member just recently have a large portion of money stolen from their account because somebody took a check out of their mailbox. I don't ever recommend putting a check in your mailbox and putting the flag up. Please don't ever do that. Just either take it to the post office or make sure you have a place to put it that it's safe. That's really important because people will take that check and then make it payable to themselves and make it for, I feel it was thousands of dollars they took from their account that way by changing the check that was meant to be paid for $20 to a bill. There's a service that you can get through the mail to be notified the items that are coming in your mail. So they can sign up for that. It's hard to get seniors to do that, but it's important that if they should have a lock on their, if they're going to get their statements in the mail, because they don't like email. So, because some of them don't, it's important that they try to have a lock on their mailbox then so that it's not, they're not vulnerable to having their statements, their bank statements or their checks or whatever taken from the mailbox. Because there are ways that you can have a lock on your mailbox.
Do you find that seniors are more often targets of scams? And why is that?
Yes, they are definitely, because they are more trusting. A lot of times they are isolated. They may fear of reporting it. And the reason for that is, one, they're afraid to get in trouble. And another is they don't want their relatives to think that their cognitive ability has declined with their finances. And that's scary for them because of repercussions of that, or they may be encouraged to go into assisted living or something like that, that they may not want to.
Or they know it's a family member who did it to them too. I mean, I had a client who has something on her credit report, and she didn't want to dispute it because she didn't want to put a police report in because she thinks it's a family member who did it. So she doesn't want to do it. So that's always really upsetting for them too.
Yeah, very disheartening. It's such a shame that so many of those most vulnerable in our population are often the targets of this kind of thing. So if you think someone's trying to target you, what should you do? And then if you've been the victim of a scam, what should you do?
Well, you definitely want to report it. You can call the police and put in a police report, which is what really will a lot of even banks will recommend that you have to do. Mm-hmm. If you've been compromised through like your debit or credit card, you have to put in a police report. You should report it to the Federal Trade Commission. And when I was called by the scammer from the IRS, they actually had an actual website to the FBI that they wanted you to actually call the phone number. It was just a voicemail to leave, but that's what they asked to happen.
So when you report it to the Federal Trade Commission, they can't resolve the issue. But what they do is they investigate and bring the cases against fraud, scams, and bad business practices. And that is important. And then if your identity is stolen, you should report it to identitytheft.gov. And they will give you step by step on what steps you should take next based on the complaint. For example, freeze your credit with all three credit bureaus, report it to the police, contact your bank, any step that is applicable to your situation.
And this is another good reason to have a Stand By Me coach that you're working with, because you're all trained in understanding how to spot scams. You're trained in helping them know what to do if they've been targeted, and you're a sounding board. The Stand By Me coaches can be that trusted person that you call and say, hey, somebody contacted me about this. Does this sound legitimate? What should I do? How should I protect myself?
And we do get those. I get those phone calls a lot, which is wonderful. We really do worry about the people who are isolated. And our community centers in the area do a great job with this as well. Mm-hmm. Whether they be the senior centers or just any community center, we'll have lots of education in these areas, which we really appreciate.
Do you know, are there any resources or like a how to keep safe guide that you could point people to? Are there any online resources, for example?
The National Council on Aging has a website that informs seniors of anything that applies to them, and they have information regarding scams and how to protect yourself. The Federal Trade Commission has a brochure with signs of scams, what to do if you're scammed. And identitytheft.gov also has a pretty large document on how to protect yourself from identity theft and what to do if your identity has been stolen.
So I think, you know, one of the big messages that I hear, if we had to kind of boil this down and keep it very, very simple, is if someone is reaching out to you and contacting you and you don't know who that person is, don't trust, verify. And don't give out your personal information to someone that you don't know ever.
Ask them to send it to you in writing, the request. Never give anything over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Shred all your receipts, your credit card documents, your bank statements. Use direct deposit. Resist the pressure to act immediately. And put your financial information away. Do not leave it out for caregivers or anyone else that enters your home to see.
And I'm sure for all of the folks that you work with, it's got to be very comforting knowing that they have you, that they can call a trusted resource and a trusted partner.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by the United Way of Delaware, the State of Delaware, and by our generous partners and donors. For more information, visit www.standbyme.org or facebook.com/standbymedelaware. If you are in need of emergency food assistance, Delaware 211 is the state's referral hotline. Dial 211 or 1-800-560-3372 or text 898-211 or visit www.delaware211.org.